Good morning. Good morning. You know, if you didn't get a chance, I know that Luke mentioned those 8 to 15 cards. If you didn't get a chance, we have these hangers in the back, these coat hangers or whatever, or a clip. Yeah, what a clip. I don't use them. I don't know. If you filled that out on your way out this morning, would you just hang them on those little clothespins? Is that what they're called? Clothespins. There you go. Make sure you hang those up. They're really important, guys. You can see that they're starting to add up. And what an amazing thing that we get to see as we go in and out of here. And the people that we're praying for between now and Easter, those that we're inviting, such a beautiful thing. Make sure you take advantage of that. I learned something from last Sunday that I should never leave my phone unattended on the front seat when I come up here. So I have, just for those who you know who I'm talking about, might be Pastor Stu and his kids. By the time I got home, there was probably 1,000 photo blasts that I had to sift through and delete and this and the other. So payback is coming. I want to open with a couple quotes for you this morning and start diving into what the Holy Spirit's doing. Isn't it amazing? I love that. I mentioned this last week when a song spoke to me throughout worship. And in this last one, the atmosphere changes as the Spirit of God comes in. And that's, notice not the exact lyric, but it's the truth behind it, that when the Holy Spirit enters a situation, when the Holy Spirit enters a room, when the Holy Spirit, when you allow Him to lead you, He's going to lead you into new places. He fosters you into change. He fosters this whole idea of new things. Amen? Which is kind of really fitting for where we're going to be this morning. A couple quick quotes. No old road leads to new destinations. Change begins when one realizes that it is unwise to pour a new wine into an old wineskin. If you change your mind, you have to change your actions too. Another quote, the wineskin serves only one purpose, to preserve the wine. The wine is always the treasure. All government and structure is to accommodate the expanding nature of the Holy Spirit. And if it doesn't, it fails. To accommodate the expanding nature of the Holy Spirit. I believe as we do that, that we're called to be that expanding agent. We're supposed to be that vessel, that wineskin that is poured into in a constant way all the time. And as we do, to be the carriers of the presence of God. When we as a church or as individuals cease to allow change and cease to recognize when the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us somewhere new, and in those moments say things like, I'm sure we've never said this before, that this isn't where I've been before, right? This isn't where I've been before. This is not how I've always done it. This is not how in me God do things. Then if we keep talking like that, we will never be a vessel capable of carrying fresh revelations of His kingdom. It's like asking God to do something new in your life, but only if it fits within the context of what He's done in your past. If it only sounds like the way He's answered you before. If it's only fitting into your theological understanding at the time. If it doesn't require letting go of what makes you comfortable, then we are okay with the new things of God. So, when God is moving us, when He is leading us, and it's a new thing, so new that we don't have a box to put it in anymore, we can do one of a few things. And I'm sure there's probably more, but for this morning, three things stood out to me as I was preparing for this morning. The first thing we can do is we can reject it. This isn't how me and God do things, right? We just reject it. The second thing, and probably the biggest thing that we do most of the time, is we try to make whatever God is doing new, what He's doing at this moment, we try to get that to fit into the way things have always been done before. So we're taking the new things of God and we're seeing how we can get them to kind of work with the things we're already comfortable with. The third thing is we realize, and this is the thing I'm hoping to get to this morning, is realize that when the new wine comes, that when the Holy Spirit nudges us toward change, toward new life, that we decide to make room for Jesus to be Jesus. That we make room for Jesus to be Jesus. And embrace that change. We can either change with it or, short and sweet, we can miss out. Either because of the fear of it or the discomfort of being stretched through it. But those are usually the two things that keep us from moving forward. We are afraid of it completely. It totally is different than what we're used to in God. He's challenging us to go further. Some of us do realize what he's asking us to do. We do notice and can tell that the Holy Spirit is doing something new in our lives, but we realize it's going to come at a cost of some stretching. And we don't want to stretch. So the question right now, probably in a lot of your guys' minds, is what the heck are you talking about, Pastor Dan? I'm talking about the parable of the old wine and the new wineskins this morning. It's where we're at this morning in our journey through the parables of Jesus. And I hope for you, it's been the same for me, that these last few weeks going through these stories has really just caused an awakening of seeking him. I mentioned this last week, just this desire to go deeper in his word and to really understand it for what he's trying to say to you and I. This morning, my heart is to reinforce the truth that the new wine is still very much being poured out today. Do you believe it?
Amen.
That God is doing new things, and he always will. I want to really hit home this reality that we also have a part to play in this process. And that is to accommodate the ever-expanding nature of the Holy Spirit, as Bill Johnson would say. Is anyone interested? Well, good. But we're going to pause there for a quick moment. I just want to say thanks for being here. Welcome to Disciples Church. Especially if this is your first time with us, we hope that you have and that you are and that you continue to feel at home with us this morning. In the seat pockets in front of you is a welcome brochure. Take a moment, take that home. That's for you to take. Lets you know a little bit about what we're all about, how to connect, how to get involved here at Disciples Church. That's for you. Also, you guys might not know it, but we have a living room across the hall. It's our living room that we have mothers going into throughout the service that maybe they have some little ones to attend to, and they get to join us via the live feed in there. And then, of course, those joining us online, we're so glad that you are. We hope to see you here in the building at some point, but until then, we're glad that you are joining us online. We're going to be in a few different places in Scripture this morning, beginning in Luke chapter 5, verse 33. So if you have your Bibles, bring them out. If you don't, there's one underneath your seat probably, and if there's not one there and you want a written Bible, you can raise your hand. I'm sure we have an usher that can come around and bring one to you. Lastly, if you have your smartphone and no one has been messing with it this morning, then you can download YouVersion out of your app store. It's free. It's awesome. I suggest that you do that as well, even if it's not for this morning. It's such a great tool to have. Amen? If you're there, Luke chapter 5, verse 33, it's Jesus being questioned about fasting. And we're going to start right here at 33. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast. He told them this parable. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new one will not match the old. It goes on in 37. And no one pours new wine into an old wineskin. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No new wine must be poured into new wineskins. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better. Will you guys pray with me this morning? Father, it's good to be in your house. It's good to be with your community. And we ask, God, that this morning you would open our eyes to the changes that might be at hand. That you would help us embrace the newness that you desire to bring to your people every day. That there might be things within us that need an overhaul. Whether it be our thinking, our behaviors, our actions. The way that we view and see you from old experiences and old encounters. That today you're doing a new thing. And that we ask to perceive it. We ask to know it. We ask to dive into it and not to be afraid. Not to be fearful. And to be ready for the stretching. So Father, we love you this morning. We bless you. We pray, God, that you would have your way in this place. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Beginning of the year, I had some car troubles. Some of you know about this. I own a Jeep, so it happens regularly. Had a couple car, a little bit of car trouble, and I had a water pump, more specifically, that was leaking. And I know from past experiences, now right now you're probably thinking, great, another car illustration from Dan. Well, at least you can know that you're either going to become a better Christian or a better mechanic when you come hear me speak, okay? So I'm just trying to cover that something is happening this morning. But I know from history that when a cooling system issue happens, the best thing to do, especially an older car with a lot of mileage, is just replace the entire system. But you're going to replace that one part, and then you're going to find that the pressure of the coolant and the heat is going to find the next weak link in that old system. And so I didn't do it this time, even though I knew better, even though I knew the tools, even though I had all the information I needed to make sure I did it right the first time, whether because I didn't have time or I didn't want to put the effort in that day on it, I just wanted to put a Band-Aid on it, whatever the case might be, I didn't do it. So lo and behold, it did exactly what I thought. And a few weeks after the water pump was replaced, then the hoses started to go. And then after that, a couple weeks later, then the radiator cracked. I can probably, the coolant that it cost me to put in that thing probably cost more than the parts itself. But every time I replaced something, I had to fill it back up with brand new coolant every time. So three or four times of that, yeah, it got pretty expensive on the coolant side. I don't know why I did it. I knew that that one change wasn't going to be enough. I knew from experience, I knew from encounters I've had with that stupid thing and with other cars of that nature that I had to do it all. I had to make those changes. It's not like it was a mystery to me. It wasn't like, oh man, I really wonder what's going to happen this time. I knew what was going to happen and I knew what I had to do to make it right. I knew what I had to do to not round this tree again. Let's see if that illustration works with this morning's talk a little bit. Let's talk about wineskins for a moment. Why was this a good parable, a good metaphor for Jesus to use in that day? The use of wineskins might be a foreign concept to you and I today. I don't see anybody carrying around like animal skins with wine in them and stuff like that. But again, it rang true to the people he was talking to at the time. It rang true for those who were listening that day. Most knew and understood this process of making wine. And furthermore, they knew and understood and had the common sense to know you just don't put new wine in old wineskins. Mainly because it wouldn't have lasted in there very long. It wouldn't have been there long enough for them to experience it, to enjoy it. It would have just burst the wineskins. You see, wineskins were mostly made of whole tanned goat skins. Doesn't that sound like a great thing to put your wine into? Tanned goatskins were the legs, the tail, they were cut off, they were closed off, and the neck was open, and then you'd put the wine in there, you'd shut that off, and then you'd let it do what it does. And as the wine was being poured in, and you began to see this wineskin start to bulge and begin to get stretched because of this fermentation process that was happening, the gas, the carbon dioxide gas would begin to generate within, and it would begin to stretch itself out to its limit. And at one point, after it stretched to its limit, it would lose all the ability to contract anymore. So when the wineskin of old was empty, it would have this definitive shape. It would not retract. It wouldn't go back to new. It would just be stretched and bulge and brittle, and it would just was what it was. It would no longer be pliable. And so if you tried to put new wine into that unpliable vessel, the activity of that life, the activity of what was happening in that new wine would stretch the skin so much that it would rupture. It would literally rupture. And both the wine and the wineskin would be ruined. You see, Jesus was confronted about fasting in this parable and in this story, stating that John the Baptist and his disciples and the Pharisees and his disciples, they all fasted, but your disciples, they don't. Trying yet again to understand Jesus and his ways through their context. Just through their experiences, their encounters. Missing the kingdom entirely. Missing the fact that he was bringing something new to the table. Jesus answered the question, of course, but maybe not the way that they wanted him to. He was compelled to take this question about something that was at the time a very religious practice to fast and try to lead them into a new way of thinking, to experience that act with new life. But he knew that in order to get them there, they would have to let go of some old thinking, that they would have to let go of some old routines. They'd have to start to see it for the life that God wanted to put into it. It wasn't about fasting or how bad it might be, or that it wasn't had any, or that it didn't have any value at the time. It was the heart behind the question that Jesus was trying to confront. He knew that they were stuck. He knew that they were stuck in some old ways. They were stuck in some old thinking. It was their perspective of what being holy looked like that Jesus wanted to touch on. Or what a relationship was with God was supposed to look like per their routine. Jesus wanted to change their thinking from living by ritual and tradition to a life of authentic spiritual awareness. Jesus was the new wine. We can all assume that that's what he was talking about. Jesus was the new wine, and he desires for us to walk in the new life given to us through the one who fulfilled the law and brought reconciled relationship with him. The Holy Spirit is still today, guys, nudging you and I to go after the new wine. And that we're invited to this process through his kingdom. And the reason that I know that is through scriptures that we read. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, it says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." And Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 goes on, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." The scary thing is here is that the church usually does perceive it. The scary thing is that the church can and does and can discern when the Holy Spirit is doing new things, but finds that the old wine is much easier to justify, much easier to explain, much more comfortable to walk in. We know how it tastes. We already know that we like it. It's familiar. It's comfortable. Key here is we can manage it. To say the least, it's much easier to do that than it is to launch into a life guided, not by laws or tradition, but led by the voice of God. We are called to be filled. We are called to be full. We are called to be consumed by this beautiful relationship of new life every day. That's always changing, always growing. Never content with this idea that I've come to realize, and don't know if it actually is what it is or it's just a word I made up, but holy management, which is what I think those of the law in this scripture were referring to, where we ration our relationship with God. Stick with me for a moment. Where we know what doses we should have and when we should experience them. God, I want to experience you here in this place, but I'm going to save anything else. I don't want to do anything else at the grocery store or at Starbucks or at the movie theater or wherever I'm at. I know that I've learned how to ration my experiences with God to be within the four walls of the church. To guard against running out of experiences of old, or guarding against having to be stretched to find out what he wants to do new in you today. Or let go of what we know to embrace maybe the things we don't know. That's holy management. Guys, we serve a big God. Amen? Amen? Who is constantly through scripture inviting us to a kingdom not of this world. Not of this world. So trust me when I say that whatever experiences, encounters you have had, and whatever experience, encounters I have had, it's safe to say it's not all of them. It's safe to say I haven't experienced it all. It's safe to say that God has got much more of his kingdom yet to share. And if we're not comfortable with that truth, then we have truly become masters of putting God in a box. And I don't want to excel at holy management. That's not on my heart. I don't want to excel at holy management. And I would hope that the church, by and large, would not want to excel at that either. What I want to excel at, what I want to become fluent in, is recognizing when the Holy Spirit is wanting to pour in the new wine, breathe into us new life, and that I would be ready to receive it. And not just receive it for a moment, but in a new wineskin so that I can be stretched and can be a vessel that can then move in it. It's one thing just to get it, but again, if it's in that old wineskin and you're not ready and you can't understand, you can't go with the change, you want to put it into a box, then it will rupture. I want to be a wineskin that can receive it and move with it. To do this, it means that we have to guard against a few things. I believe the first thing is fear of change, fear of being stretched. If we're going to be a people who excel at receiving what the Holy Spirit is doing every day, then we need to not be afraid of change or of being stretched. This new wine may not be smooth to the tongue. It might not be as finely aged as the old wine. It may be a bit sharp or unrefined. Kind of sounds like Jesus in these parables. He was a little unrefined from time to time. He was a little sharp from here and there, right? There were some things that he said that were quite bold, quite stretching, quite challenging. But the beautiful part about him and in this new wine is that it was alive. It was alive. It couldn't be contained. It couldn't be explained all the time. It's not something people were able to manage. It was alive. The second thing I believe we need to guard against as we go in, as we walk towards these new things that the Holy Spirit's wanting to do in our lives is wanting to go back to the way things used to be. This is a big one that we got to guard against. Not just what we experienced in here, but what you've experienced in God. The encounters you've had, the victories you've had, the breakthroughs you've had. Too often people have thought that of their experience with God as the ultimate end. Not realizing that he is taking his people from glory to glory. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. The temptation, we also got to guard against the temptation of only embracing what we can explain. And this is a big one, and we're going to kind of rest on this one for just a little bit. The temptation of only embracing what we can explain. In this, we begin to water down. When we begin to live a life of only the things we can explain in God, this is where we begin to water down the new wine. And we begin to take the edge off of it. We make it more palatable. We dilute the fullness, the impact, the life that we were meant to experience in Jesus. All throughout these parables that we've been going through and the resounding truth that we can see time in and time out as we've gone through these parables is that everything Jesus wants to do, all the things he wants to bring to the table, all the newness of life, the fullness thereof, living life abundant, anything that he is requiring of us to do, whether it be the change, to be stretched, to be challenged, is worth everything we have. That his kingdom, by definition, is a clear revolution of the heart, a clear revolution of the mind, and of our actions, and of our understanding. To only do what we can explain would just be another show of what we already have and can manipulate without God. To only do what we can explain would just be another show of what we already have and can manipulate without God. I want to do things that require God to be there. I want to hear from the Holy Spirit what it is that he's calling me to do day in and day out. And that when that thing is something that I can't do without him, I know it's time to do that thing. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." The way that Jesus saw the world is crucial to understanding and living in this paradigm of a new wineskin. Understanding how Jesus saw the world, understanding how he saw certain aspects of life, is crucial to us understanding what he means to live in the new wineskin. So we have to ask ourselves that question: how did Jesus see the world when it came to certain things? How did Jesus see the world when it came to faith? The old wineskin would probably say, "Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it." But the new wineskin says you'll see it when you believe it. John chapter 20, verse 29. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." how Jesus saw the world through the lens of overcoming or grabbing a hold of our call, or breaking through, or overcoming a challenge. The old wine would say that that thing that you're trying to break through, that thing that you're trying to overcome is too big, the old wine would say. That practically you can't overcome that. It's too far outside your reach. Kind of like the people of Israel when they were faced with taking the land. But then the new wine would say in a situation as it relates to overcoming things and grabbing a hold of your call, the new wine would say that it's our land to take. God gave it to us. Therefore, we have been given the power. We've been given the authority to overcome. We know this because this is exactly what Joshua and Caleb said when it came time to take the land. What's God's view on provision? The old wineskin would say that the harvest comes only at a certain time and in a certain way. The new wineskin of Christ's mind says that, but I tell you, look around you and see that our fields are ripe for the harvest. When it comes to love, what does the mind of Christ say about love? The old wineskin would put limitations, restrictions on love. The new wine says, I'll sit with the woman at the well. The new wine says, I'll sit with the tax collector. I'll sit with the sinners, the hurt, the sick. When it comes to worship, the old wineskin wouldn't be pliable enough to go beyond just our reputation or our comfort levels. But the new wine says, I will become even more undignified than this, as David said. You get the difference here. Freedom. How would Jesus view freedom through the new wineskin and new life? The old wineskin would burst from too much new, bound by the structures that they've set in place for themselves. The new wineskin says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Through the lens of Christ, humility and sacrifice, the old wine says it's for me to decide what I do in my life. It's for me to decide how much I'll give over, how much I will sacrifice. The new wine says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Perspective changes from the old wine to the new wine. From just rituals and traditions to life-giving relationship with Jesus. The bottom line here is that the old wineskins just can't handle the full life and the truth that Jesus wants to give to you and I. Old wineskins of old thinking can't handle it. To think that you and I have it all figured out when it comes to God, to the kingdom of God, is completely irrational. So old thinking is not going to handle it. Old actions can't handle it. Believing that we're going to grow as long as we keep doing the same things over and over. Can't handle it. Old roads can't handle it. Going down the same road, hoping for new experiences or something new to happen while we keep going down the same road over and over again. Old methods can't handle it. X plus Y has always equaled God. But the Holy Spirit wants to take you from formula to relationship. They're all great places to remember. I don't hear my heart. I've had some incredible experiences with God. I've encountered God in so many different ways. And I cherish those moments. I look back at them as stepping stones that I have seen where I grew in Christ leaps and bounds. And I know you all have your stories of things that have happened days and years ago that were incredible things for you guys to go through. But if we stay there, if we stay camped there and never allow our hearts to embrace the kingdom as he sees it, then what we'll have is new wine but no vessel to put it in. You You know, I've always had a problem with procrastination. Anybody else? I'm horrible at procrastinating. And I hope to believe, I want to believe, that I've gotten better as I've gotten older. But I do remember some very frustrating times in high school and early adulthood where those procrastinating, you know, mentalities would come up and it would really just ruin my day. It would ruin my grades. It ruined a lot of stuff. Horrible tendencies. And I can't count how many times in my life that I would use the words, "I'm so tired of procrastinating. Tomorrow will be the day." As the worship team comes up very, as they're procrastinating. That's what it looks like, by the way. One kind of comes up, one's doing, are you ready for this? Are you okay? Why don't you take a few more minutes? And but I've always done that. When I'm so frustrated with myself and I want to change, I want to embrace the next thing, I want to get past this. And then I always say, well, tomorrow, I won't put things off any longer. But somehow tomorrow never quite came. And I would find myself still engaging in the same old delaying behaviors, the same old routines, the same mindsets that always kept me on that procrastinating road. I wanted the new wineskin of efficiency. I wanted the new wineskin of effectiveness. But I was trying to achieve it through old wineskins of the old behavior, old thoughts, old routines. It was never going to happen. So here we are again, another Sunday, another challenge, another opportunity to grow. But the Holy Spirit is also here, ready to pour in new wine. Hoping that there are new wineskins in this place. Hoping that there are vessels that are not wanting to excel at holy management, but want to embrace the new life that Jesus wants to bring every day. Ready to be pliable enough to grow so that life and life more abundant would radiate from you and I so that this world would see Jesus. It's hard to see Jesus in us when we've managed to keep him only in the places we feel comfortable with. When we've learned how to explain everything away. When we've learned how to only embrace the things that we're okay with today. That we would be vessels, ever-changing wineskins that would accommodate the expanding nature of the Holy Spirit. I want to be a vessel that accommodates the ever-expanding nature of the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? What do you and I do in that process? I believe that even as we've been sharing this morning and even during worship, we already know. Like I said with my car, I knew what I had to change. I knew that one piece wasn't going to be enough. And I knew what was going to happen if I just waited. That I have to keep pouring that in, even though I knew if I replaced everything. Again, this isn't a mystery. Jesus doesn't make it a huge mystery when it comes to what he's asking us to do. That we'd embrace change. We would ask and we'd be diligent in seeking the Holy Spirit. Saying, what do you want to do in me today? Father, I'm in a rush to get my groceries done, but maybe there's something for me to do in here today. Not awake yet. Don't even talk to me until I get my first coffee. So that Starbucks person better get my name right on that cup. But maybe God's got something for you to do in that place. What's the behaviors that need to change? What's the routines that need to get dropped? What is it that you and I need to do to embrace the new wine in such a way that we're willing to be stretched in the process? That we're willing to let go of yesterday and maybe embrace something new that he's doing in me today. For me, going through this parable, it was maybe given to me because of just where I'm at in life. So many changes, so many things happening. And either I could be afraid of it, fear of being stretched in it. I can try to make both things work for me, or I can just accept that the Holy Spirit is taking me somewhere new. And that I can manage my life the way it was, or I can embrace the new things of Christ today. Would you guys stand with me this morning? Bow your heads and close your eyes for no other purpose but for you to reflect. For us not to worry about what the person on our left or our right is doing. The Holy Spirit is ever expanding. I want to be a vessel. Says not only I will receive it, I want to accommodate it, I want it to grow in me. And whatever new wineskins I need to adapt to, whatever I need to do to change, whatever behaviors I need to reset, to change completely, so that I can walk in the new life that you were trying to give those folks in that story, in that parable. To change hearts. You want to draw us deeper. It means we have to let go of a few things that we've been holding on to for so long. That God, maybe the way I've always done it isn't the end of it. Maybe you're calling me to something deeper. Maybe you're calling me to experience you in a different way this morning. Maybe my week in and week out way of doing life with you maybe isn't the end all be all. Maybe my prayer life and what I do through routine and tradition, maybe there's new life that you're wanting to breathe into that. Father, that when we worship you, that we're not bound by the things we're only comfortable with doing, or the theology that we've set in place. But that God, you would breathe new life into this life of worship. That God, the way I reach out to people outside these walls, maybe the things I've done only out of comfortable places, maybe it's time to get a little uncomfortable. Father, I would just ask that you would just bring to the forefront of our mind, to everyone in this place, those things that you've been nudging at our hearts. Always done that. That it's not something I need to speak into. That you're constantly drawing us out of old places. You're constantly reviving our hearts, God. What it is that you're speaking to each and every one of us as an individual and as a church. We know what those things are. Those things that we know we need to change. Sure, if we have our worship team here, our prayer team. I want to do something a little different this morning. I want to give you guys an opportunity in this place. Maybe this has been exactly what you needed in here. Maybe this is something that, yeah, you've had things that you know has needed to change, behaviors that's needed to change, routines that need to be done away with. And you just love somebody to come in and pray with you about those things. As we worship a little longer this morning, would you find your way into the back? prayer team and let people pray over you. Maybe that's something new that needs to change. Where we step out and say, Jesus, I'm here to be with you. We're going to worship for a few moments. And as we do, please, if that's you this morning, you're stuck in old ways, old behaviors, old roads. You keep doing the same thing, hoping for a different result. The Holy Spirit wants to take you on a brand new road. The Holy Spirit wants to take you to a brand new place. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you so much for the hearts in this room. Thank you for your desire to transform us every day. That our desire wouldn't be just to make it to tomorrow. That our desire wouldn't be just to get this done. But that our desire would be to see your life. To see your life-giving heart in everything we do. Let us not just roam aimlessly without purpose. Let us know that you are here, right here, this second, wanting to breathe new life into your people, that we might be that new life to this world. Father, we love you. We bless you. In your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.